This is Just Talking It Up with Janet and Crash.
Welcome to Just Talking It Up. I'm Janet. I'm here with my co-host Crash, and we are going to talk about some fun stuff today. Fun co-host, how are you today?
Doing well. I can hardly wait. What is this? Just fun that you're going to foist up on me today.
It's always a bag of tricks, isn't it? Hey, listen, do you have any weapons in your house? Because if you do, you better report them lost or stolen.
Yeah, I threw all of mine away last week. I felt so badly about having them, and our president said we need to get rid of them, so I threw them away.
Yeah, we melted ours down. That way nobody can get a hold of them. Yeah. So, this world, she is a-changing.
Now, what about you? How many do you have?
We've got we're a hunting family. I actually have a little Winchester 30-30, and I gave my husband a little Winchester 30-30, but he's got a 7mm also that he hunts with. And so we've got hunting rifles and things, but...
They're so dangerous. Don't you realize how many people each year that guns kill?
Oh, I know. And they jump up in the hands of unsuspecting people, and they wound the innocent right away, don't they? Those guns, they're evil things.
There you go, talking logic again.
Well, you know, if you have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because you've just got to get that bathwater out of there, period.
What do you think the bigger killer is, a Louisville slugger or a gun?
I'm going to say gun.
Well, you are wrong. Statistically, the FBI has shown that the biggest killer, the bigger killer of the two, are bats.
Bats? You mean like flying bats? Bats fly out of their caves and they kill people?
On who is on the back side of that bat, on the business.
Oh, a wooden bat. Yeah, okay.
Baseball bats and hammers kill more people every year than guns.
Well, now what about cars? Don't cars kill people too?
And motor accidents are behind alcohol abuse and unintentional injuries, medical injuries, medical errors, and tobacco. Now, there you go. Tobacco kills about 500,000 people every year. Medical errors kill 200,000 people. Firearms kill 11,400. This is FBI statistics. Can you believe that?
Good grief. Why would the FBI keep all these statistics? Do you think they have an opinion as to whether we have gun control or not?
We have statistics. That's what we're looking for. But no, you don't see anything about that. All you see are the hues and cries. Now, listen, no one is going to say that the situation up east was good. There was nothing good about that. Nothing good about it. But we have to take things in perspective. If you look at the countries that have taken up guns or eliminated guns, the incidence of guns killing people goes up in those countries. It has for years and years. And then, of course, you've got the political side of this. If you go back in history, when governments have tried to take away guns, then the people are in less control. They're more at danger. And in many cases, that has been the precursor to economic collapse or the takeover by governments. And that's what the Second Amendment is intended to do, is to protect the citizenry against an onerous government.
Do you think that they'll ever actually confiscate guns, or do you think that they will just make it difficult to own them, and they'll tax those that do? Do you think they'll make it expensive to own a weapon, or do you think they'll make it illegal to own a weapon?
Who knows what the end result will be, but they'll do all those things. They'll make it more difficult. They'll make it less acceptable from an emotional standpoint to own a gun. They'll go after the ammunition. They'll try to take them up. They will have court cases where people will be punished for owning guns. For example, somebody breaks into your house with a gun, I think, and who knows what happens to them, but they get injured in the process, and you've seen many cases where they have sued the people whose house they broke into.
Right. Just this past week in Georgia, there's a mother who shot an ex-convict 6 times. She's protecting herself and her children. She was at home alone. Her husband was at work. She hears a knock on her door, and she figured it was a solicitor or something, so she ignored it. She told the kids not to answer the door, and he kept knocking more and more and more, and then he started repeatedly ringing the doorbell over and over again. She got scared. She called her husband at work, and she said, "What do I do?" And he said, "Get the girls and hide. That's not right." So he calls 911, tells her to hide. They get in a crawl space. So this ex-convict, he's still trying to get in the house, uses a crowbar and gets in, pries himself into the house. He comes, I guess he looks all through the house, but he eventually gets to the place where they are. He opens this crawl space door, and he's staring down the barrel of a 38. Now, she fires 6 times and hits him 5 times in the face and neck, and he falls down crying. He's face down on the floor crying, and she says, "If you move again, I'll shoot you again, and I'll make sure it's the last one." So I don't know how you fire a 38 more than 6 times, but if he's hit, he's not going to be counting how many times she's fired the weapon. So he doesn't know whether she's got more bullets or what. So they step over this guy. They get out of the house and go to a neighbor's house. And he somehow gets out of the house, and the police find him in a car, in his car, apparently in a neighbor's driveway. And when they find him, he's crying and he's bleeding. And he says, "I'm dying. Help me." So because this fella lived, I'm telling you, it's just exactly what you said. I think we're going to see a lawsuit. If somebody pulls a weapon, and I mean, I can imagine, when my husband read me this story, we were talking about it last night, he reads me the story, and I just said, how do you fire 6 times at somebody who's coming to harm you and your children, and you don't hit them right between the eyes? How do you not drop them right there? How does somebody survive that? That's just a God thing.
When you have to think whether you shoot someone who's broken into your house and is about to do you bodily harm, when you have to think, "I may go to jail, I'll be sued by the police or by this person who's broken into my house," we're in a sad state.
I bet you there's going to be, now I don't know that there is, but I almost guarantee that there's going to be a lawsuit of some kind on behalf of this ex-con.
Probably no doubt that there will be. I read something. Here's some statistics that came out of Australia, written by a police officer. He said that in the 12 months in Australia since they were forced to surrender personal firearms, over $500 million worth of firearms, 640,000 firearms were destroyed by the government at a cost of $500 million. And since that time, the first year results are now in after that happened. Homicides up 6.2%, assaults up 9.6%, armed robberies up 44% in the state of Victoria alone. These are statistics that occurred after firearms were taken up.
That was after they're gone?
After they're gone. After they're gone. I mean, when firearms are taken up, who do you think the last person to turn in the firearm is going to be? Someone who's using it for law-abiding citizens are going to turn them in to start with.
Right.
That aren't law-abiding citizens will turn them in last. And so you have the balance of gun ownership is moving significantly in the hands of the bad people when you have a program like that.
Yeah. Well, there was a place in New York, I guess maybe it was New York State, where there was a discussion as to whether to publish the list, the names of gun owners.
Still in play right now.
And I find that, I can't believe that is not on fire, number one national debate, because that is just, to me, that is just an amazing event. I never would have predicted 10 years ago that there would even be an argument about whether you publish the names of someone who's listed as a gun owner. Not only that, but they listed the addresses of these people and put it on a map where these houses were. So the first thing that's going to happen, in my mind, is the bad guys, once they get the smart bad guys, the ones who get wind of this, are going to look at that map and say, I'm just going to watch the next time those lights are out, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to find those guns. I'll have myself an arsenal.
Yeah.
It doesn't occur to anybody that I think there is something in New York that maybe wants to humiliate gun owners and make them feel bad about themselves. I don't understand what all this is about, why they find it necessary to publish the names of a gun owner. I'm a gun owner. Come after me. Come on and get it. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to come in my house, you're going to get shot.
Are you going to turn yours in if they tell you to turn yours in? What are you going to do? You going to turn it in?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
No, I really don't know. I don't know.
I do.
I'm not sure what I'll do. I know you're not going to turn yours in, so I'll go to your house. I'm not a lawbreaker, so it's hard for me to say yes, I'll break the law because it's a bad law. That's just a dumb mindset. But I think it is a dangerous mindset to say disarm the people.
You think that that's the direction we're going in? Why would you buy one? Because that's what's coming.
Well, yeah, that's what's coming. But there is. I don't think that there is any realistic way that they can keep up with all the weapons that they have a list of having been sold somewhere. Do you know how many of those people? And I'm gonna say right here in the South, in the middle of. I mean, this is a giant nest of rednecks. You think those rednecks aren't gonna say, "I don't know where that gun is. I left it over at Willie's house, and he left it on the top of his truck when he pulled out of the driveway. I don't know where it is."
Sure, they say.
They're not going to say they've got a gun. Here it is.
Exactly, no doubt about it.
So how are they going to prosecute all those people?
Well, they're going to start by using moral suasion, so to speak. They're going to start by having people feel bad about having a gun. It's wrong. You know, but they're already starting, you know, with the shooting up. I can't remember where it is, up east in where New Hampshire.
Newtown. I think it's Newtown.
Yeah. With that shooting, they're using that already to go after gun owners. They will not look at the statistic. They won't look in San Antonio where the lady was in a movie theater. Somebody came. It's a combination movie theater restaurant where someone came in brandishing a gun to do bodily harm to people, and she shot the person. You don't see that in the newspaper. All you see is what happened in the school in Newtown. You don't see the other side. And so whether you're talking about the economic condition of this country or the constitutional condition or the gun ownership situation, the liberal press is continuing to pound on the electorate and the citizens to get them to feel badly about these particular things. And that's the first thing that's going to happen. They're going to try to make you feel bad about it. Use moral suasion to try to get you to do, quote, the right thing. And then use the hammer.
Well, if people are so divided in this country, and I believe that they are, I believe that there are those who are really convinced that guns are just a bad thing, that you have no business even shooting an animal. You don't need to shoot animals. Why do you even have a gun? That's just wrong. Those are the tree huggers, the PETA, all that. If they really believe that weapons are just bad things and we just shouldn't have them, and they're the ones that are going to be fighting for everyone giving up their weapons. And then on the other side, you have people who are reasonable, who are just people that want to own a weapon, and they have every right to own a weapon. And they're never going to be convinced otherwise. There is no happy medium. This is like abortion or not abortion, to abort a child or not to abort a child. If you are convinced that it is an okay thing to do, there is no middle ground. You cannot halfway abort a child. It's all or nothing. You either own weapons or you don't own weapons. And you're either for it or against it. And there isn't a compromise here. I cannot see a compromise coming down the pike. I don't think this country is going to sit by without making a big stink over all of it. But I don't think we're going to make as big a stink as we would have 10 years ago. I just don't. No, I think we've, for all practical purposes, we have been euthanized, because it is no longer, it's not okay to have a conviction or to have a moral opinion, a strong opinion.
And I think where you're going there, it's not okay to have a strong opinion. It's okay to have a politically correct opinion, which is no opinion. So to that degree, I think that you're correct. We've been euthanized. We've abdicated the responsibility for taking a strong stand. But I think deep down, there's a polarization in our nation about a lot of things. And guns are one of the areas where there's a polarized situation. The economic situation is one where we're polarized also. We're in the media, the liberal media is one that is being used by the extreme socialists and liberals to foist this opinion upon us. And if you look at the rank and file, they do not know from straight up about history, and they don't know about tax rates and what that does to the nation. They don't look at the gun situation in other countries and here, and how those things affect the way that we act as human beings. They don't look at the war situations to see what happened and how countries were taken over by doing some of the same things that are happening in our nation today. So when you have this kind of conversation, people say, you're a kook, you're crazy as a loon. But all you have to do is go back and look at history, and you see these things happening, and you see them happening here.
Well, you know, Timothy McVeigh didn't use a gun.
I used to make my grass green in the summertime.
Crazy mm-hmm. people. And Jesus said, you're always going to have the poor. There's nothing you can do to eliminate the poor. You can't do it. So we're always going to have them. And it's the same thing with people who are just, their minds are broken. There's something lost in them that it's just irretrievable. Those people are always going to exist. And if they don't use a gun, they're going to use fertilizer, or they're going to use suffocation, or they're going to use fire, or they're going to use something else, because they are constantly telling themselves they are the victim and they're going to get revenge. And just because you pull a weapon off of the shelf in the store doesn't mean that you're going to stop that moron. He's there. He's going to come after somebody. And I don't know, there doesn't seem to be much real common sense logic among those that really think that there has to be a happy medium. The government just wants to control where they all are. We don't want to take all your weapons away. We just want to know where they all are, and everybody wants to know where they are. That's just not going to change anything. It's not going to change the people in Newtown. It's not going to reverse any big mass killings. People do stupid stuff, whether they use a car or fire, a match, a gun. They're just going to be there all the time.
You'd look at the statistic that says that every year more people are killed by baseball bats and hammers than are killed by guns. Now, can you explain to me why you don't go to the Louisville Slugger Company in Louisville, Kentucky, and the whoever makes the hammers, and say, we're going to have to shut you guys down? We can't have this. This is the major cause of death. The people, we're not using logic. We listen to these inane politicians. Now, here's another example. Did you realize that Congress has a 9% positive rating, and 94% of all the congressmen that are in place today were voted back in from the previous Congress? Explain that to me.
Wow. I can't. There's no explanation for that, except that Jesus always said you're going to always have the poor. You're going to always have those people that vote those Congress back in.
Yeah, he said, y'all said the idiots.
Yeah. Well, I think what he means is you're always going to have those that trouble you. It's just that you think you can fix. You think you can It just is. So this is why I take kind of a backseat. We've been euthanized approach. We've already gone over this cliff. So we're on this train. We don't have any choice. We can't get off the train because we can't move to another country. There is no other country. This is it. So, I'm just strapping in my seatbelt and saying, well, we're here. Let's go.
I think you're exactly right. We're the tallest midget on the block.
Well, that's exactly right. We were it. We were the last one. We were it. So there's no place to go. You can't run and hide. So
what do we do, Miss Janet?
Well,
do we hide? Do we stick our head in the sand? I know you and I have had this conversation off air about being so sick of politics and sick of listening to it. And I'll have to admit that I have watched significantly less of any sort of newscast in the past month than I have in the previous months. I watch other things because I'm so frustrated by what I have seen happening that I just do not know what to do. And I see it being worse. I see 4 years at least ahead of us with what we're facing now. I almost hope that there is some sort of crash in the 4 years, because hopefully then this country would come to its knees and come to its senses and vote in someone who has some business sense.
But it can never go back. We will never be the country we were. It can only be a less socialist country than some of the others. That's all. But that doesn't mean that it only means that we're changing slower. I think we would still be headed for socialism, and I believe that we would eventually be headed for communism. And I just, we would just change slower. That's all.
You know, after communism fell in Russia, they said that in the first year, people had no idea what to do. Because they said, I want communism back. At least we knew what we were facing, and we had a little bit. You know, the other thing I've seen is that we continue to give money to people and welfare and what have you, but there are signs in the national parks, don't feed the bears. They'll get used to being fed. They won't be able to fend for themselves. Boy, there's a dichotomy.
That's exactly where we are. We are animals that have been caged for, we're now in a cage, but we're animals that have been in the wild for a while, and we know how to take care of ourselves. But the problem is they've stolen our young. That's it. And they've put them in a cage. So now our young are in a cage, and the rest of us old bears, we're just left out in the woods, and when there's no place to, I mean, there's no way for us to get back to a capitalistic, free, liberty-filled society. It's not going to happen. It's done. So,
you know, I was thinking over the weekend about myself and my two sons. I have two sons who joined me in a business about almost a quarter of a century ago, and they're now running that business. And but they are not considered workers. They're not considered workers, and they've averaged 12 hours a day, 5.5 days a week over the past year in a very tough business year to try to maintain cash flow in our business and to keep the other 15 families. We have a hard working staff, very smart professional staff to maintain equanimity within our business, but yet they are not considered workers today. And I think this world is crazy.
Well, so what's to stop somebody from just selling everything off, just liquidating all you can, not whether you can get what it's worth or not? Why would you just sell everything off, including buildings or cars or whatever, take the cash and hunker down, divvy it up among your family and whatever workers that are there, and just saying, look, guys, you're on your own?
It had gone the way that I thought it would 35 years ago when I started it, that I would at one point, one day, come into the office, look over, take down the sign, turn the lights off and walk away. If my business had not involved the addition of family members, and if I hadn't come to feel the rest of the people who work with me being family also, I would do just that. I think I have such a strong desire to help them have a good standard of living and continue a very good business that I still am active, go to work virtually every day, worry about it, plan, execute, help, do all these things. And it's principally because of wanting the best for these people.
Well, we've spiraled into a kind of a depressing conversation, haven't we? We really ought to probably be pouring out our hearts to a psychologist somewhere. But let's try to get back to what we were originally talking about, even though that it does entail all of what we've already said. Are all your kids? Does your family? Are you hunters? Do you all own weapons? Does everybody own a weapon in your home, or in your family?
Everybody in my family does. Yeah.
I just think that's smart. Do you think that?
He gave away last week, so I'm wrong about that. Right?
Yeah, we lost several, so we only have like one or two. But do you think that if it comes down to it, do they already own weapons that you think will become illegal?
Kind of legal or illegal or what you're saying?
Well, I'm not sure what they're going to do first. I'm not sure if they're just going to take the automatic weapons, the AK-47s, things like that, the things that are going to fire off 50 rounds in under a minute, or the guns. I think that one article that I had read said that they were going to take away anything with a clip to it, anything that has a clip that's an automatic reload where you can fire many, many times without having to stop and reload your weapon. Now, with a rifle, that's different. With the hunting rifles that we own, you know, you put in whatever bullets you're going to shoot, and that's it. And in order to reload it, you have to unload the empty shell. You know, I mean, it's a complicated process, and you can't go and kill bunches of people. So it seems like what they're going to go after is they're going to use people's emotions over mass killings first. They're going to use that as the door to get in. So they're going to look at things that are fast shooters, that are rapid fire things, that are I guess even the rifles or whatever that come with a clip, that's what they're talking about. I don't know anybody that owns a weapon like that. I suppose they belong to collectors, but the mass killers are what they're using to drum up all this interest. It's not the one-on-one handgun guys. So I don't know who they're going to go after first with some of the laws that I think they're going to try and change. And do you know anybody that is it collectors that get these weapons that fire over and over and over again?
I have no idea. I don't know anybody that owns one. And I would have to say that I have a hard time understanding why an individual should have a AK-45 that shoots 100 rounds without being reloaded. But that's the incrementalism. That's where they will start, and I think that they'll be successful in eliminating or retarding that use. They'll have something, and then it'll be another one, and then it'll be something else, and it'll be something else. So it's going to be incrementally taken away from us.
How can they change? Now, I know that they add a lot of different things to what is – there's a lot of phantom stuff that goes on with the Constitution. How can they change the Second Amendment? How do you think they'll redo it?
They don't abide by the Constitution now.
Well, yeah. Like I said, there are a lot of phantoms out there for them. But what do you think how will they try to reinterpret that?
I don't know about reinterpreting. They'll have to reinterpret or try to change. And already, Holder says that he doesn't think the Second Amendment really guarantees the right for people to own guns. I mean, that's exactly what it says. The ability to own a firearm will not be abridged. And it says that that's not what it means.
Well, folks, we live in a new land. And apparently we're about to be in utopia that doesn't have any weapons. So between now and next week, we want you to find all the weapons in your house and take them to your local police department. Or send them to me. Yeah, send them to us. We will take them to our local police department and we'll destroy them for you. So in the meantime, I hope you have fun with whatever weapons you have. When I say fun, that means target practice and shooting clays and anything else that you find recreational and enjoyable for your family. And enjoy them while you can, because you might not be able to somewhere down the road. Crash.
I can get your Red Ryder BB gun. Last thing.
Yes. And the government is glad to say, you'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I do have one of And I tried to shoot some geese that were in my backyard the other day. And, you know, you see the arc of the BB going down there. And it hit the goose on the side. And he just kind of turned his head and looked at me and said, "Who are you kidding?"
Okay. Well, go shoot your geese, Crash. Why, we're in for a wild ride, folks. Thank you, Crash. As always, it's enlightening. And we'll see you next week.
Great to talk with you, Janet.
To send an email to Janet or Crash, the address is feedback@justtalkingitup.com.